Good evening. Welcome to Hour 3 of Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Sitting across the board from me, Tim Dennis, delving into the world of the unexplained and supernatural each week with you from 9 to midnight on Saturday and Sunday evenings. Our guest this evening is Linda McKenzie. We're talking about the psychic world and exploring some of the psychic aspects out there. I do want to make a quick mention. We do have some tickets still available. I've joined Tim and I at an advanced screening of Ghost Town that'll take place at the AMC Maple Grove Theaters on Wednesday, September 17th at 7:30. You want to be there about 6:30 to pick up your tickets. Your name will be on will call. If you're interested in coming out and meeting Tim, myself, and the lovely Nicole, and seeing a really hilarious movie about ghosts, come on out and check it out. Linda, coming back into the show here, as I said, leading on to the commercial break, where do you come in growing up Catholic, growing up with your abilities? How do you rectify what we've been brought up, you know, being told that psychics and mediums are not a thing of God and they are not supposed to speak to the dead
I don't know that realm? I guess religion is religion.
Right.
And it's a social form, and I think that when anybody gets together in a group, they're contributing to great energy. So I think that religion has a basis.
Did you ever feel conflicted with your abilities, wondering or worried that they were maybe not something you should have? Did you ever try to hide them or suppress them?
No, because Jesus and God were with me the whole time.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, and you know what? Really, in my thing, I respect religions a lot, and I think there's a great need for them. However, spirituality, when God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. I mean, I was an engineer for 18 years, and then God said, you know, I think you need to bring more people to me and stop what you're doing. And I mean, I was doing great. I was, you know, company cars, $160,000 a year, traveling all around the world. And I said, okay, stop. I stopped exactly what I did and did what, you know, was expected. And I wrote a couple of books and, you know.
Well, help us with this then, too, because I know the people in the chat room are asking, why you? Why did God and Jesus choose you to work through?
I have no idea. Believe me, I've asked him myself.
Okay.
I said, hey, you know, this is a lot of work here. Can we talk about this?
You know, how are the benefits? That's all I want to know.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, people want to be psychic, and let me tell you, it's a big responsibility. I don't know if I would have chosen this. Okay, I don't know, because it's such a very big responsibility. But let me say this, that I was, when I first came out as a psychic in, you know, out to the world, I had a born-again Christian friend, and she said, you know, you're doing stuff. And I said, well, you know, I can't understand that, because Jesus is standing there with me, and God is standing with me, and so I don't understand, but you may be right, because, you know, I'm still in, you know, this engineer brain, you know, saying, well, maybe that's right. So it was very interesting. I went to speak on something completely different, on healing, you know, with your mind, because I have a doctorate in clinical hypnotherapy going for that. And I was, you know, at this function, and I think it was Kiwanis Club or something. I was out speaking, and there was a Catholic priest there. Mm-hmm. And I went over to, you know, as we were leaving, we happened to be in this passageway all by ourselves. And I said, Father, can I talk to you a minute? And then I explained to him what was going on. And he said, well, he said, he goes, are you, he goes, where is this coming from? He goes, where is this energy coming from? And I told him, and I told him the story. And we had such a great conversation in the parking lot, and then he went to leave, and I forgot to ask him whether I should, you know, join his church, you know, mm-hmm. You know, to be part of the church. And he was across the parking lot, and it was like mind-to-mind communication. He turned around, and he goes, Linda, he goes, we're with you 100%. He said, but you need to get more people, and he goes, and you can do that through spirituality. And he said, so we'd have you back in a heartbeat. He said, but for being just in spirituality, he goes, you will reach more people for God. And he goes, and we're with you 100%. And then it was very interesting. After that, a friend of mine who was a psychic in California, which is a little bit more progressive, psychics were being invited back into the church. And they actually, but had to pass a test to make sure that they weren't doing things from the universe and their stuff was from God. you know. And so in here in California, psychics are welcomed into religion. Mm-hmm. And then there was another thing that was very interesting that I was invited to back in 1995, 1996, where one of the popes were inviting all of the spiritual leaders to come together, and that no longer did the Catholic Church put down other religions, but said that to get to where we need to be, we all are one. And they met with rabbis and shamans and Indian people and Australian Aborigine religious leaders, and I was invited to go. I ended up not going, but it was a very, very big thing back then. So I think that, you know, religion is good for some people, and others, I prefer spirituality because I have a oneness with God, and no one can take that away from me, and I know that I'm speaking to God because I know. You know, I can't describe it to anyone.
Yeah, you just know what you know.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes from. And you're, I would guess, because you're not getting words of hate or negativity, you know, that's how you discern it too. I mean, you know, a lot of people will tell me that they get these flashes of, you know, anger and they're told. And that's when I start to question, maybe you're not getting your messages from the light. Maybe you're, maybe you are tapping into something a little bit more on a negative level of energy that people, because I got to guess, The negative low-level energy is probably a lot easier for most of us to access because it's not something we have to work or obtain. Is that right? I mean, do you find that?
That goes into almost the second video, which I don't know when that's coming out. I've got to get this one out first.
Sure.
But that is, we're really human beings. And so everything in religion, comparative religions in East and West, mm-hmm. Eastern and Western religion, there's basic truths in all religions. And one of the things that we have ability in us is chakras. Chakras are esoteric energy centers that you can't see that move the chi or the life force from God or the soul energy into our bodies. And they're swirling vortexes. And yeah, there's supposed to be 7 major chakras, and some say there's 13. But in effect, there are actually hundreds and hundreds of chakras in our bodies, these little spinning things that get there. And this allows us to understand our body. So then we have this auric field, and there's 7 auric fields around that, you know, when you are walking down the street, and by the way, chakras are electrical energy, auras are electromagnetic energy. So when you, and both of these chakras and auras come into play when you're discerning your psychic abilities. For example, you're walking down the street and there's a guy on the street and you know you don't want to be near this guy. Now, it may not be the way he looks, it's just this energy. That's an auric interpretation. Okay? Now, some of these, that interpretations, the chakras, are different kinds of levels. For example, the root chakra found at the base of the spine is the lowest level of energy sources. So that's where you get your negativity and your negative emotions. And so when you're in spirit or you want to be in a psychic, a very good one, mm-hmm. you have to come from your heart chakra up. You have to start from the heart because all the little lower ones are for processing our human stuff. And one thing you've got to understand is I never do readings for myself. I just take life as it comes because I have a human experience that I have to live, and I have a spiritual experience, okay? So I keep my feet on the ground and my head in the clouds, and I become balanced. And so I don't know if that answered your question, but I think I was trying to get there.
Right. No, I'm with you. Do you feel, though, people that are out in the field that are doing the work of psychics, do you see that sometimes the ability unhinges some of them?
Absolutely, because they don't know what they're doing.
Right, and because I've watched it. I mean, I have a lot of dear people I know that have psychic abilities, and their lives just seem to be falling in around them.
That's right, and they pick up entities. Because if you don't know how to protect yourself, you are in a world of hurt, okay? And it's not just this white light stuff. I mean, there's things that you need to do to clear yourself out,
Well, we have about 2 minutes left in this segment. Can you give me a couple of those points so people that are maybe just starting to get into this can have some protective shielding to go in?
Well, the very first thing you have to do is you have to do everything your mother ever told you. okay? That means eat right. You've got to keep a clean body.
And okay? And fresh underwear.
So that energy stays great.
Right.
And, you know, and then there's all sorts of stuff, vowels and all sorts of things that you can do, and songs and sounds and body postures and stones, and everything has energy. So you have to align yourself with the right energies, and you have to make sure that you got God's protection, because that's the highest.
All right, so it's having a relationship one-on-one with whatever. Now, what about, you know, a lot of the people are very afraid to step on the toes of religion and say, well, whatever God you believe in, as long as you have pure intent, you're asking for their help. Do you think that works overall, or, you know?
Well, everything exists, so all these little God stuff exists. Even a thought form exists. So you have to find your main source, the source. And that's a tough road. You're not going to get there. It's a long, arduous process. So, you know, you have to be aware that if you don't know what you're doing, you got to be careful of what you do, because you shouldn't be going all out for it. You have to take things in baby steps and verify your abilities and work with them and, you know, make sure that they're right, so that you can find and discern what is right for you, because everybody's different.
All right, fair enough. We're going to take our first break here of the second hour. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest is Linda McKenzie. Check out her website at lindamckenzie.net. And again, if you'd like to join Tim and I out this weekend, this Wednesday at the premiere screening of the brand new Ricky Gervais comedy called Ghost Town, you can check us out. And we'll be giving away passes for this Wednesday, the 17th, at AMC Maple Grove on Wednesday the 17th, as I just mentioned. So join us out there. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Thank you very much for joining us here with our guest, Linda McKenzie. Linda, you made a mention in the first hour we were talking about psychic abilities, and you said one of the main things was, why do people want psychic ability? And, you know, it made me pause to wonder, because, as I said, I've been trying to work on it with my cell phone, flipping it open and getting a text within a few seconds of the time I flip my phone open and look at the screen, or getting a phone call at that time. You know, and I said, I would certainly want more than just the ability to know I'm going to get a text or a cell phone call, but I really don't know why I would want it. I just like to know that I'm more in touch, I guess, is my point with things going on out there. I'd like to be able to have more of a connection. You know, I had a great connection with my mom 20 years ago on New Year's Eve. I had the sense every time I drove past the street driving all my drunk friends home on New Year's Eve that there was something wrong, and I kept seeing visions of my mom being wheeled out of the house in a stretcher and so on. I got home that night. She came shuffling out into the kitchen, said hi to me, said she'd be right back to talk, turned around and collapsed. She went into a grand mal seizure.
Wow.
And I knew, you know, I just knew that night, the whole night, I knew something was horribly wrong, and I thought I was going to lose my mom. You know, although I did not like the terror of the whole experience, I liked knowing that I had that connection with my loved ones. And to me, that's what's more important, is being able to know if somebody in my, you know, circle needs me or loves me or needs my help. That's kind of where I'm at for myself. What
right.
do you find
you're,
most people?
You're a good soul.
Oh, well, thank you.
You are. And so here's...
Don't kid yourself. If I could figure out the trifecta, I'd be into that too. But, you know, I got bills to pay and six kids.
But here's the thing.
Right.
A psychic can never use...
Right.
their talents for personal gain. That's my personal thing. I have a psychic friend who's extremely good, and he lives in Vegas, and he's, you know, using his money to help the world, okay? So what he does is, when he doesn't have enough money, he goes to the slot machines, and he'll say, okay, I need about $800 today to live. Boom, 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 he goes, gets the money, and goes to the slot machines, plays crap, does it, whatever, poker, whatever, and he gets his $800, puts it in his pocket, walks away, and then lives. But he's doing dynamic things on...
But now, is that really a psychic ability, or is that just...
The
laws of attraction. I'm focused on wanting to win, so today I will win.
No. It's, you know, let's get something straight. The Secret
uh-huh.
is really a nice little movie. But again, it's giving you one universal truth, and you need to know and practice all 22 to manifest anything you want. All right? But I find that a lot of people want to be psychic for a couple of reasons. And now, so that's my personal thing, is that I don't take money for a God-given gift. You know, I don't, you know, sometimes you do And when I was doing readings, I'd charge $1 a minute, more for the people so that they felt, because they felt that money had value. And some people equate value to the amount of money they spend on a psychic, which is not really the way it's at.
Yeah.
But people want to be psychic to sometimes feel special and apart from other people. Well, guess what? We all have it. We're all one. And guess what? We are all special in God's eyes. We are all here for a particular reason, and everyone and everything has value. Another reason that people want to be psychic is for ego. Oh, I'm this and I'm that. Oh, I don't have time for those kinds of people. Because the I is not we. And right now, in this, the way that things are going in the world, if we don't band together and create a positive space, there's no more room for the I's. It's the we's that we need. And so if you're into ego, you are going to get a lot of different kinds of things that are coming to you, and a lot from the negative side rather than from the light, because ego is what they plead on. They'll say, hey, you're right in this, or hey, you're right in that. Very tempting. Whereas God is not a tempting thing. God and the light is, I'm right. You see, there's a difference. So, I'm glad I'm right, you know, and I could do this. And the other one is for power. They want to manipulate things. Well, you know what? I see what's happening in the world, and I understand that there's, you know, there a lot of the psychics stop at the universe, because you can get all the information you want from the universe. But is it true, or is it not, or is it good for all? Because a psychic should be looking for the greater good of all. For example, my ex-husband used to cheat on me, okay? And the minute he was with someone, I would see their face, their eyes, and the minute he would bed him, I would call him up while he was in bed with them and say, hey, how was that redhead? Hey, how was that brunette?
Well, didn't he learn he's married to a psychic? Shouldn't he have had a little bit more, at least wrap his head in an aluminum foil hat or something to protect the thoughts?
But anyway, the reason is that when you do this, I did tell him I was going to do this so that he knew, because you have a responsibility as a psychic. And, you know, and I could not interfere with that by showing up at a place where he was going to be to stop that or anything, because you need to be looking at the greater good of all, and there is lessons in all of this. I had lessons to learn, he had lessons to learn. So you have to understand that sometimes, as a psychic, you need to not be giving your opinion about anything. And, because you have to make sure that that person is reacting and doing things from their own power without the power of suggesting to them anything. So I'm a great psychic because I give you no answers. I just present possibilities. And I'll say...
That also makes you a great politician.
Well, but that's truth, though.
Right.
Because you have the ultimate power on where you're going to go, you see? So how am I going to tell you how you're going to go?
Right, and I agree with that, because that's something I've always thought. You know, I've watched friends that have become addicted to tarot readers or psychics.
Oh, please.
And it reminds me of that old Twilight Zone episode. You remember that with William Shatner sitting in the little cafe with the fortune-telling machine?
Oh, yeah.
Plugging in, and he doesn't know what to do, and where should he go? And as soon as he hits it, and that ends up just kind of overwhelming his life. And the thing is if you're giving me all the possibilities, if you're telling me, yes, Dave, I do see a blonde in your future, and it's going to be relatively short time from now, I may pass on what could have been the best relationship in the world with a redhead or a brunette because I was waiting for this amazing blonde, and that may have just been one possible truth or reality that I could find, correct?
That's correct. And let me say this about divination, which is another type of psychic ability, mm-hmm. where you use tools. A true psychic needs no tools. I find that a lot of people are just beginning psychics, and so they want to see that they're right, so they're using a tool. Or they think that their client needs to see a tool.
A tool being like tarot cards or...
Right. Now, every single one of these tools has mm-hmm. energies behind it that could be positive or negative. Okay? Personally, I don't use tarot at all. And the reason being is that the tarot has spirits in back of it that will tell you half-truths. They'll say you're going to cross the street, but they won't tell you you're going to get hit by a car. Well, I'd really like to know that other information.
Right, exactly.
You know, so each tool has energies behind it. So, and why do I need a tool when I can go and get exactly the correct answer from the source?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's people fearing that they may be wrong and looking for something to back up their deal. Because, we have a friend of ours, Scotty Roberts, who we've had on the show to do live readings. And I watch him use the cards, and I've seen him in public situations where he just starts to talk and link in, and it seems like he gets the same information. But I think he's reaffirming himself by using the tarot cards so that he, A, has something to show people, you know, and B, kind of, you know, then he can step back and say, hey, I'm not psychic. I'm just reading the cards as they came up, and it's whatever your imprint of energy is. So it's almost like a cop-out, and I don't mean to put Scotty down. He's a great guy and all, but I think that he has the innate ability. He's just cloaking it with cards to support him or back himself up.
Absolutely. Everybody has the ability. I can remember when I was on air, and I was doing readings on air, and I would do 36 to 42 readings in 40 minutes. That's how quick I was. And consistently, from all over the world, they'd call in. And the reason, my mom was listening one time, and she said, oh, you're just giving them common sense. You're not doing any psychic
right,
stuff.
Right.
And I said, but Mom, how did I know it was a legal question? And she said, oh, yeah, that's right, you know. And so I'm very smooth, and I could give you a psychic reading. You wouldn't even be able to tell I was giving you a psychic reading because I'll just work it in. Because guess what? When you get to feel, know, and trust that ability, it becomes so much a part of you
right.
that it's in your life. You know, I'm consistently in trance. Consistently.
Okay. We'll talk about that in a second. We've got to take another break here. You're listening to Darkness Radio. We'll be back with our guest, Linda McKenzie, right after this. Welcome back to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We are your home for all things unusual, supernatural, and unbelievable. This evening's guest is Linda McKenzie. We're talking about psychic abilities and trying to discern the different levels of psychic intuition, divination, all the different tools and things that can be used, and what Linda's beliefs are in how to develop your own abilities, and should you? And that seems like an important question, too. Do you think, you know, like, we all have the ability to sing. Some of us are just really horrible at it. So just because we have the ability to do it doesn't mean that we should do it, right? And isn't that kind of what you're hoping to teach people as well, is, you know, maybe it's okay to turn away from those gifts?
Right. Just don't do it till you're ready. Because, you know, what happens is we all have the gift. It's not a special talent. It's a natural talent. But the talent varies in intensity, type, level, and experience by individual, and also on using it. I mean, when you're doing intuition, that's the first of the psychic ability. That's where you start. And you kind of keep using it and using it and using it until you start understanding the dynamics or patterns of your own energetic patterns on when you're right and when you're wrong. Some people keep journals. You know, they'll write things down and then they'll go back and then you'll start finding patterns. There might be physical manifestations that you're not aware of. Usually, when you're first starting out, you'll get, like, the small of my back would get numb, and I know that I was connected to God and know that I was getting a true psychic thing rather than just my own personal experience, because you have to learn to interpret that. And whatever.
So each one has its own tell, if you will.
Okay.
It's each different form of the ability that you were talking about earlier has its own tell. Like you said, when you were getting it from that numb spot in the smaller of your back, you knew that's when you were linked to God. So does each ability have its own little tell like that, so you know where it's coming from?
Well, there are some, and there's even certain sounds that some people with clairaudience can hear so that they know where they are at, and that's associated with the chakras. So buzzes and bells and the sound of oceans, it means, you know, but each person in their interpretation for the signs for them is different. So there really isn't one broad scope that you can do. And anybody that tells you that you can go to the psychic school to be psychic is incorrect, because it's a personal journey. Everyone's is a personal journey. So you are responsible for your own psychic ability. No one else. And you have to learn this. And as you go, and the more that you want the ability, God will lead you to your teachers. He will lead you to the books that you need. It will just happen automatically. But it doesn't happen overnight. And, you know, and there are people with a lot of power, psychic power. But until you know to use that wisely, maybe you shouldn't be doing reading.
I agree with you on that. You know, I think that's where the level is that's confusing for me, is the people that want to, you know, and I think you were right when you said it was ego and you know, looking to shine and finding that moment. I don't understand, though, you know, if people are getting this information. We had a question from Andy in St. Louis Park in our email that came through, and he said, you know, if there are so many people with this ability and that we have this, you know, where we can plug in and out of the universe, why aren't we able to find missing children? Why aren't we able to find Osama bin Laden? Why hasn't something been done?
I knew. I mean, the government asked me to work on projects. I turned them down.
Why would you do that? Don't you feel that that's a calling from God to help protect us?
No, because I got that. I traced it back, and the government group that asked me was underneath the wire, and they were doing things that were not correct. And I told them, you know, for every one of you that you have of me in there, there'll be one on the outside balancing this and keeping things towards the light. And I gave them names, dates, places. The government had been tracking me for a very long time. But we respect one another because, you know, we just respect one another. But, you know, they put me through audits and all sorts of stuff. It was kind of interesting.
So they were messing with you just to try to get you to play ball?
You know, I always work in truth.
Uh-huh.
So, because you know what, I don't lie. It's all my personal opinion, and I don't have time for that, because that means you have to remember all this stuff, and I don't need to watch my back. God watches my back.
Well, why aren't we finding more of these missing children? Why aren't we solving more crimes?
Every civilization, mm-hmm, across time, every government uses psychics, and I don't know why they choose not to do that, but it's like, you know, there's a lot of things that are suppressed, you know, and I have no idea, except for maybe power and control or whatever they're doing. But I mean, they could have called me. I knew where he was.
Well, why wouldn't you?
I knew where bin Laden was.
Right, but then if you do have the ability like that, don't you feel a certain call of service to call and say, hey, bin Laden's at the 7-Eleven on the corner of 4th and Washington.
You know, there's other reasons, and we don't know. I mean, just as laypersons, for example.
Right.
Let me give a story of an ant, okay? An ant is walking around, and somebody steps on him. Well, that ant might have really, if somebody didn't step on him, he might have made soil aerate so that some corn could grow, and the corn could be eaten into, turned into cornmeal that was eaten by a future Olympian that was going to find the service to cure the world.
Right.
You know, what's
it's the butterfly effect, right? The little changes that have a ripple through everything that goes on in the world.
Right. And, you know, nobody knows all of these things. I mean, if you start thinking about all the impact of energy, it'd drive you crazy. You wouldn't know where to begin. You know, so and I think that there's a lot of things like that in government, that they understand things that maybe we don't see because they have more knowledge. Now, whether they make the right choices or not, you know, I that's a personal opinion. I certainly don't like to do politics or sports, but
right.
you know, or lotto predictions. Thank you. Not that I can't, but I just won't. So, you know. So I think that we have to understand that the good thing is that we're exactly in the right place at the right time, and things are working beyond us to manifest the best and the light in the world. And light always overcomes dark. So right now we're in this period of kind of like an Armageddon, you know, we really are. And there's light workers all over the planet really working very hard to keep the energy up. And I think that more and more people are getting in tune with their intuitive abilities because of this.
Well, you know, that leads into a good question here, too, from Margaret. We got an email here from Margaret in Stillwater wanting to know, she'd like to know, do you think that the rise in these quote-unquote indigo or crystalline children have something to do with the next wave? Is it because we're now at that point that we're open, or is this just, it's always been there, we're just more open and accepting to it now?
It's always been there, but I think that it's activated. I think that, you know, something is being activated in our DNA. You know, it's really interesting, like Greg Braden, who's been on my show for a lot, and I really respect him a lot. He found a code that's in every living and non-living thing that is an alchemical code that has the name of God in alchemical symbols in every piece of DNA and every cell of every organism on the planet. And I think that this activation, whether it be from the pull of the planets, I mean, think about this. I mean, in the universe, we have physical and etheric energies. Physical is the planets are moving. We understand that the moon moves the tides in. We're 90-something percent water. We can't think that, you know, that's not having an effect on us. Well, all these other planets are moving around in the system, and so physically, that's shifting energy. So that all has to have an effect. And then we have the etheric energy, unseen energy, of thought forms and people that's passed over in the universe and all the, you know, energy of the universe. And so it's just kind of interesting that we have all of this stuff around us all the time. So now I forgot what I was saying. So
well, her question was, do you think that these crystalline children and these indigo children are a natural progression of us, or is it that we've always, you know, the children have always had this ability, but now we're more willing and open to accept their abilities and nurture them as opposed to just letting them fall by the wayside?
I believe that, and I also believe that that our DNA has probably changed because just over time through genetics and how we're adapting to this environment.
Well, you know, there's a big sect that believes that that we are dealing with aliens and that there has been some hybridization. Do you get a sense for that at all? Do you think that that's just part of the DNA hybridization kicking into effect?
Well, let me say this about that. Okay. I had a friend of mine that said, well, you know, all about the aliens, this is 20, 30 years ago. I said, okay, let me go see if they were there. Anyway, so I transported myself, and sure enough, and this alien looked at me and goes, yes, and I was out of there within 10 seconds.
Okay.
And at that point in time, I say, yes, they probably exist. But for me, there's enough work to do on this planet that I think I'll leave the aliens to somebody else.
Okay, do you think, though, that they are working in our culture? Do you think that we are alien in effect?
You know, I don't know. There's a lot of theories, and to tell you the truth, I've never really put a lot of thought or research into that because I think my thing from God here is to educate people on the truth of human abilities and enhanced human abilities.
Okay, fair enough. We're going to take our break here, last break of the evening. Stay tuned. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio with our guest, Linda McKenzie. Welcome back to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Thank you for spending your Sunday evening with us. Remember, if you missed any part of tonight's show, you can also check out our website. And there you can find our podcasts and download the show, listen to it in its entirety, hear all of it. And you can check out last night's show in the last few weeks as well. We'll have all of our new shows archived from August 24th going forward. If you want to hear some of our older shows going back the last 2.5, 3 years, go to darknessradio.com and click on the archives tab. There you can find all the shows that we've done and join us with that. I also want to make mention, we do have a live chat that goes on during each show. Please join us in our live chat. Go to darknessradio.com, click on live chat, come in and talk with other like-minded individuals. You can share your ideas and thoughts about the show as it actually happens. You can ask questions in the chat room, and Tim will try to work them into the show as we can. Again, last quick call mention for this. We do have an advanced screening of the brand new comedy Ghost Town, which takes place 7:30 p.m. at the AMC Maple Grove Theater on Wednesday, September 17th. We have 25 sets of tickets to give away. Give a call in right now to Tim Dennis, our lovely producer and co-host. Give him your first and last name. Make sure to spell it slowly and clearly, and we will see you out there. We'll call. You can come pick up your tickets next Wednesday. And I do hope to meet you out there. Tim will be there. I'll be there. And Nicole Remini, our movie critic, will be with us. We're going to wrap up with about the last 8 minutes here with our guest, Linda McKenzie. Linda, again, thanks a lot for joining us tonight. What would you like to leave people with the last 8 minutes of this? What would you like people to take away from your movie? And can they get this movie on your site? Is there a place that they can buy this DVD, first of all?
Right. Well, I'm doing the first presentation on the 19th of September in the Society for Paranormal Research and Education in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Okay.
And so it will be available after the first pre-screening of it on the site. But one of the things that I do want people to encourage them, that there is going to be a paranormal lab that is going to be a very much working lab. And it's something called the Paraplex that is being done on and probably opening around January 9th in New Orleans. And I will have an actual museum exhibit on the 11 psychic energy zones and a walkthrough where it explains everything so that you could see everything in one way. And a lot of the DVD will be on sale in the museum in the Paraplex, and it's a 9,000 square foot facility that's going to be unbelievable. And I have a whole 12 by 12 room to explore psychic ability, where it comes from, and it will be very interactive exhibits and a lot of surprises. So if you're making a trip to New Orleans, make sure you check that out around January 9th. And that's at the Paraplex. I think it's paraplex.com, but if you put that in, something should come up.
Now, we have a lot of people that listen to the show that are heavy into ghost hunting at this point. You know, with all the popularity of shows like Most Haunted, Paranormal State, The Ghost Hunters, Ghost Hunters International. Do you feel that if you are trying to become psychic, is that a good place for you to be as involved in ghost huntings, or should you just leave that to the people that are kind of out of that realm?
Most of the time, these ghost things,
they're
because of natural causes, and you need to be trained in this. I mean, there's only three fully accredited parapsychologists with PhDs in the United States. Now, Edinburgh University and a lot of the universities in Europe actually have courses in paranormal, in parapsychology. And we no longer in the United States do. I think UCLA had it and Berkeley had it. But it's an accredited science. So somebody that's going out saying they see a ghost, I don't buy it, you know, most of the time, because they'll feel it, they'll see it, you know, but, you know, will they be able to really interpret whether it's from a scientific point of view, or is it, you know, when we went over to the British Museum to test, the British government asked us to go over and test ghosts at Belgrave Hall, and in fact, they had pictures of ghosts on film. There are no pictures of ghosts on film, thanks a lot, but there isn't. And we found that it was an aberration from the light or the rain or whatever.
Okay? So just matrixing, what I think they're calling it now. So
well,
you don't believe that any real...
a lot of words, but, right. You know, a truth is truth. So you have to really be careful when you're doing that stuff, because a lot of it, you know, you can get some pretty bad ghosts. I mean, I've had ghosts throw me to the floor. There is some evil energy out there, and not a lot. Really, you know, they could be very strong energies. Peter James was telling me a story. You know, he was on our team, and when we went to, and he didn't believe that his energy came from God. An old Catholic boy that I guess got hit with the ruler too much by the nuns.
Right.
But we sat there and we had discussions very much at night. And I said, "What is it that you're fearing?" And it was very interesting because the two male psychics, and I was the only female psychic there, and then there was a trans medium, which I don't do, allowing entities to come into your body. But this very malignant spirit came in one of the houses that we were doing, and started attacking Derek Acora. And Peter James was down on the stairs, you know, and he's going, "I'm not coming up there," you know.
Right.
And I just turned around and I said to the thing, I said, "Hey, don't go to him, come to me." And it pushed me, but I dissipated it. And a lot of the times when I do this ghost hunting stuff, I go to release the ghosts so that they can pass over to the other side. You see, so there's a lot of functionality in what I do. It's not just to say, "Oh, I found a ghost." No. If you're finding a ghost, you have to understand that ghost, and you have to help that ghost. That's what you're there for.
Well, amen. That's what I believe in, and I think that that's a great cause. Is there anything that you can recommend to people that maybe don't have your level of ability that they can do to help ghosts move on? Is there anything in about the last 3 minutes we have here of the show that you can share with people so that they can do some help for ghosts and spirits that are trapped here or not willing to move on?
That's a whole dynamic. But, you know, one thing that you can do is you can talk to them and try and understand and try and show them to the other side. If you're in the light and you're in the right zone, you know, I hate to say zone, but if you're in the right place where you're supposed to be,
right.
They will be able to see the other people of their families and friends on the other side that will help them with the transition. All right. So when you're in the right place, it just happens normally. So come from the heart. When you come from the heart and not from the head, you really can't make a mistake.
We got Terry from Minneapolis has the question to you, too. You mentioned earlier about the different types of ghosts. Why do you feel that ghosts stay here? What is their reason for being earthbound?
Well, there's really a couple of reasons. One is from emotion, like we were talking before, sheer anger or sheer love is an example. Or they've been killed instantaneously and they don't know that they're dead.
Okay.
Or they're expecting something. You know, I had a little girl that was still there. She died of respiratory illness in the 1700s or something. And her mom had promised her a pony, but she died before she could get the pony. And then I released her. You know, I kind of was able to explain it to her.
Oh, okay. So it is that sense of feeling like something was unfinished.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So those are really the only reasons that ghosts come back. Or in your case, you know, now ghosts are earthbound spirits, okay?
Right.
Whereas, you know, even though you may see a ghost from the other side like your grandfather, they're really spirits now. That's their soul spirits. But earthbound ghosts are what most of these people are dealing with. And they're really not open enough. A lot of them, some of them I'm sure are. You know, you can't just put everybody in one big pot.
Right.
you know, you have to be, you know, those are special gifts. And everybody can get to see their mother, father, sister, brother after they've gone, especially in the first 2 weeks, because they're hanging around, you know, kind of doing some stuff. And so if you go to sleep and ask to speak to these people in your dream time, but also ask before you go to sleep to remember what they said, you will probably be able to talk very nicely with them at that state, in that dream state, and remember it the next day. So they're never apart from you. Although they're pretty happy up there. They're out doing their thing. So
that's good, and that's a great tip. Linda, thank you very much for joining us here and spending your evening with us on Sunday night. I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. We'd like to keep in touch with you in the future. Let us know when the screener's available so people can buy it. And again, people, you can check out Linda's website by going to lindamckenzie.net. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're going to be back again with you next week with a whole brand new series of shows starting on Saturday and Sunday, 9 p.m. to midnight. I hope you'll join us right here on 100.3 FM, K-Talk.